Malachi chapter 2. Ten through 17. Everybody got your Bible ready? Malachi chapter 2. Verses 10 through 17, we're going to read it, and then we're going to go back over it. I want you to listen closely. Take notes if you have a pen and paper. Are we recording this?
Yes.
Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? By profaning the covenant of our fathers. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel. And in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? We're going to go back to verse 10 and go through this. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? How do we deal treacherously with our brothers? The Bible says by profaning the covenant of our fathers. What is the covenant? It's holiness. And by doing so, we become married to the daughter of a strange god. How does this affect our brothers? We defraud our brothers and our sisters by keeping them from being blessed with our gifts, our talents, and our influences. When we forsake the covenant that we've made with God. You might think when you backslide or get cold in God that nobody suffers but you. But my dear friend, let me tell you tonight, when you get cold in God, you're defrauding the whole body of Christ. You're defrauding the whole body of Christ. We have signed on as rowers in a boat. And we are in one boat together. And somewhere on the way to the other side, different ones in the boat get sidetracked. So now instead of getting quickly to the destination that God has for us, we expend all of our energy and focus on either rowing while others are playing. This also causes our supplies to be used up quicker because we're using up everything while drifting. And the commitment of others in the boat is affected by your lack of service. And indeed, we're dealing treacherously with our fellow rowers when we withhold our commitment to pray. our know-how about various conditions that might enlighten us. For example, if fishing is your area, how many knows if you're able to fish and you're in the middle of a boat and some of us don't know how, your expertise will help all of us. God is tired of people dealing treacherously against the body of Christ. We're in the one boat, and I'm sick and tired of having to jump out of the boat every 10 minutes to save somebody jumping overboard because they're not committed to what God's called them to do. I'd say 75% of our energy in the body of Christ is expended on backsliders. Come on, church. Come on, church. And while we're sitting in the middle of this ocean trying to row to the destination that God has for us, we're having to turn around constantly and encourage. We're having to constantly jump in the water to spare someone who's jumped overboard. And it's expending all of our supplies. Oh, Jesus. God has put within each and every one of us a gift that is valuable to the body of Christ as a whole. Yes. Some people have the gift of encouragement, and they're able to bring encouragement to other people in the body of Christ. And when you're missing and you're not fulfilling God's will in your life and you're not in the boat encouraging others to go on, there's someone else, because of your lack of commitment, that's going to suffer and fall out of the boat. We are our brother's keeper.
Yes.
And you think your little bit of backsliding is okay, or your little bit of coldness is okay. Let me tell you something, church. It's not okay. Yes. What you do or do not do directly affects all others, because you are breaking covenant with the Father by doing that. You're breaking covenant. See, we're in a generation that knows nothing about covenants or promises. They're too easily broken. They don't mean anything. God does not forget his covenants. We can barely hang on to them overnight. But God is gathering a people that will keep the covenant of God. And they'll get in that boat and they'll row. And if nobody else is rowing, when Jesus comes, they're going to be in that boat rowing. Because God has a covenant-keeping people. We fell in love with Jesus. And we joined his army and became a part of his family. And part of his body. So we joined in covenant with a force greater than yourself.
Yes.
I didn't just join in covenant with God, but in covenant with you. I covenanted with God that I would pray for you. I covenanted with God that I will study and read his word so that I might be stronger for you. I've covenanted with God that I will not give up, shut up, or sit down. I've covenanted with a force that is greater than myself. And that force drives me on daily.
Amen.
If you're not maturing into the position that God has desired for you to grow into, then someone else is doing his job and yours. When you're not growing into the position that God has for you, then someone else is doing your job and his. Let's read verse 9. Let's go up to verse 9. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. He's going to break down ministries and individuals who have been partial in the law. Because a covenant keeper keeps all the covenant. Amen. I said a covenant keeper keeps all the covenant. I'm tired of people breaking covenant with God. It cost us dearly. It cost the body of Christ dearly. It cost us dearly.
Amen.
When rowers quit rowing and they begin to play and then they jump overboard and go back to their old life. You don't have the right to go back to your old life. You made a covenant with God. Didn't it mean anything to you? Didn't it mean anything to you when you lay down at the altar and you said, God, not my will, but thine be done? The Bible said that you have married a strange God, cutting off all future prospects of being married to God. We get married to a strange God, saying, I prefer you above the living God. How dare you prefer the world over the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you think he said that they that look back are not worthy of me? Because there's no higher calling and there's no greater gift that you'll ever have in this life. And if you can look at Jesus Christ, make a covenant with him and walk away, you don't deserve to be in his company. How dare us join our affections and emotions and energies to something other than the kingdom of God? You're defrauding the church, and you're defrauding the family of God, and you're defrauding the covenant and the very Christ. You've affected future rowers because we are to pass the torch to the next generation. There's people standing behind us waiting for the torch. But we've threw our torch in the water. We've let it burn out. And we've run to strange gods. There's a whole generation running around with no direction because all the torch holders that should have handed them the torch to this generation has backslid because of something somebody said, because of something somebody did, because of something that didn't happen that they wanted to see happen, because their church fell apart, because their ministry got caught in adultery. Honey, let me tell you something. I didn't join this army, hallelujah, to be affected.
Come on.
You didn't die for me. You didn't rise again for me. And you're not coming back for me. I can't for the life of me understand when our example to this next generation should be one full of dedication and devotion to God. We've decided to take on strange lovers. And we've exchanged the Lord of glory for a humdrum and shallow life of TV and radio and endless chatter of non-consequential things. Verse 12, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. I said, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. The master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. The Lord is going to cut off even masters of the word, even masters of truths and principles of God, because of their lack of affection for the author of the book. He said, I'm going to cut off the master, and I'm going to cut off those that sit under them. Because we're churning out, instead of passing the torch of holiness, instead of passing the torch of affection to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are churning out little replicas of ourselves that who come in and do a little Sunday morning service, shout, dance, and go home and live like the devil. And we're churning out examples of this. We've begun at the foot of the cross, y'all. But we have to grow into a place where we fall in love with Jesus. Verse 13. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, receiveth it with good will at your hands. You see what happens to us when we backslide? And God begins to withhold things from us, and we recognize that he's been holding something back. Then we want to run and cover the altar with tears. And the Bible said he doesn't even regard it. Let me tell you why. You've all known somebody in your life. A couple, a man and his wife, where the man's been unfaithful over and over and over. And every time he asks his wife, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And he showers her with flowers. But there comes a time. Somebody say, there comes a time. When that wife will say, not again. And she will not regard all the flowers in the world. She will not regard all the gifts and the presents in the world. You can crawl on your knees from here to China. She will not regard it anymore. God said, there's coming a day when I will not regard your tears anymore. I will not regard it anymore. Verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between me and thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion in the wife of thy covenant. He is protective of the bride nature that he's producing in us. He's protective of the bride nature that he's producing in us. And he will not let it be sold out, hallelujah, or compromised. Now let's get into the meat of this. Verse 15. And did not he make one? That's talking about a marriage covenant, but it's also talking about the marriage he has with us. And did he not make one? Yet he had, listen to this carefully, and yet he had the residue of the Spirit. He had the remainder of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. That he might seek a godly seed. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Therefore, take heed. Somebody say, take heed. Take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. God has the residue. Let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me about the residue today. I tell you what, church, I don't know if the rapture's coming or not, but I'm ready for it today. Because when he revealed this to me, I was ready to fly. Glory to God. The residue, the Lord told me, is the substance that germinates the holy seed. We'll go on. Take heed to your spirit. The DNA, the spiritual DNA that you are to produce, the life-giving substance that maps out the very essence of the kingdom of God within you. He's crying for that godly seed. And he said, take heed to your spirit and watch what you do. Because he desires, he might seek a godly seed. He's looking for a godly seed in you to germinate. He's going to test you. He's going to try you. Because in that germination process is spiritual DNA that's life-giving substance that will map out the very essence of the kingdom of God. How many have desired to know deep things of God? Do you think he's going to pour that information into unholy seed? What does he want to produce? He has, church, the necessary component to make it happen. But he's holding back the residue. He's holding back the residue until he finds that pure bride that he might germinate that holy seed. Doesn't he say he watches over his word to perform it? I said he watches over his word to perform it. Until you get that residue, until you get that holy seed germinated by that residue, hallelujah, you will not be able to know the byproduct and the component that goes together to make up the kingdom of God. The Bible said the whole earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. I said the whole earth groans for the manifestations of the Son of God. Church, they're crying out for that germination. They're crying out for that germination. That holy seed is lying dormant until God breathes into it breath that it might become a living God. I haven't listened to TBN in probably 2 years. But last time I listened to it, I heard preacher after preacher talking about something called the next level. Everybody's excited about the next level. Everybody wants the next level. But the next level will not be reached by just excitement or by visions of abundance. I said, or by visions of abundance or fanatical religious formulas. You know what's going to bring the next level? Crucifixion of the flesh. Oh, that don't feel good, does it? Come on, sister, prophesy abundance on me. Come on, sister, tell me I'm going to have a Cadillac next week. Well, you might, but let me tell you something. If you want that holy seed germinated, if you want that godly seed to come forth, if you want him to perform it, you're going to have to be crucified. He said, don't cast your pearls among swine. Do you think he's going to cast his pearls? Do you think? God cannot trust his godly seed to a worldly flesh, man or woman. How many knows that? Why? We would use it to condemn somebody we don't like, or gain wealth, or seek promotion or position. Only those who care not for the world will be entrusted with the residue to germinate the holy seed. Do you have ears to hear? Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. Now, those of you who had some germination on your seed, you're going to understand that. Take heed to your spirit. Don't deal treacherously with that bride covenant, that first love. He hates people who put away their wife. He hates people to put away their covenant. He hates people who turn back and give up. That holy seed that God placed within you the day you got saved, the day you came down to an old-fashioned altar. Mama, it's the same, isn't it? It's the same in 2002 as it was in 1930, wasn't it? It's the same way. You got to come down the same. Somebody say the same way. You got to come down to this altar and say, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And can I tell you something else? You need to do that every day. I need a Savior today, Jesus. Because without you, I'm going to blow it big time before the day's through. I used to tell my church, they can almost trust, God can almost trust me to go to the store, but not quite. Now listen, that holy seed that he's ready to plant, that he's ready to germinate, right now in the spirit realm, if you could see it, he has reservoirs ready for the overflow. Because once he germinates that seed, you talk about the law of multiplication. Hey! Only God has enough room to hold the reservoirs of it. Hey! He's got reservoirs ready to fill. He's got arcs ready to float. Hey! He's got ministries ready to be birthed. Woo! In the winnowing process, anybody know what winnowing is? I tell you, you know what it is when you've been there, don't you, Brother Dennis? I mean, go to Kansas, man. You'll learn real quick what it is. Man, we went through Kansas, I thought that state would never end. Anybody ever been through Kansas? My Lord, that's the longest, deadest. I saw a t-shirt when I went through that state. It said, I visited Kansas, and on my way I saw, and it had a picture of a cow. I went a little further and I saw, and it had a picture of a wheat field. I went a little further and I saw, and it showed another cow. I went a little further and I saw, and it showed another wheat field. And it said at the bottom, why didn't I take a plane? Oh, I think I'm going to say it. I imagine the Holy Spirit just flies down into some of our spirits sometime. And he goes for miles looking for a sign of himself inside there.
Come on now. That was stung. I like that. That was
stung. And it's full of nothing. Just emptiness. And he said, you know, I came down today to visit him or her. And I wanted to germinate some holy seed, and I couldn't find it. It wasn't there. All right, back to the winnowing process. That's when they take wheat and they thrash it to get the wheat off. And then the chaff blows up, blows away. It used to be called winnowing. Anybody been through that thrashing? If you haven't, you haven't been anywhere, honey. Let me tell you something. I'll be 50 years old next month. And he ain't near through with my thrashings yet. You know, I thought the first 10 years, I thought, well, okay, God, let's get on with it. Let's get it done. Come on. Because I thought it would get done, and then I'd go from glory to glory without any more thrashing. But I found out with every glory comes more thrashing. And every glory has its own set of thrashing. Now, sister, I just wanted to fly with the Lord. I didn't want all this stuff.
Come on now, it's good to reach.
But in the winnowing process, he's getting that holy seed ready. But many are too proud to fall on the altars with prayers of repentance for God to be able to do it. See, what he does is he takes that spirit of yours and he thrashes it. And you try to ignore it. You try to ignore it. You try to go on with your normal life. You try to ignore it. And then it gets painful. And then you try to distract yourself with it. And you'll do anything but fall on the altar and say, God, what's wrong? What have I done, Lord? Show it to me and I'll get it right. I am really desiring that godly seed in me to germinate. Because there's places in the spirit I haven't been yet. But I'm going. I'm going, Brother Clayton. You on your way too? Amen. I'm just trying to reach the places he's already been. Would you leave me some trail markers, brother? Amen. There's no set formula, though. He knows that, and I know that. There's no set formulas. There's just repentance and repentance and repentance and repentance and getting it right and getting it right and not giving up and going on, slapping the flesh down and going on, crucifying the flesh some more and going on. You can't follow my process because you're not me. God's going to deal with you the way he wants to deal with you. So you can't follow my trail. But be ready. Be available. But fall it to the altars on your knees. You know, I used to tell our church, you need to come down here and get it right. And here would come Sister Susan and Sister Anna. And my prayer warriors, and they'd come down here, and they'd pray. And the ones who'd been drinking that week, they're sitting in the back. And the ones who'd been cussing and fussing, they're sitting in the back. And every week, it was the same old thing. It was the same old thing. And you know what it is? It's pride. Somebody say pride.
Pride.
It's pride. You know, when they have an altar call, maybe there's something I don't know is there. I want to make sure it ain't there. I come down to it every time. David said, create me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. I don't want to miss this holy thing. I don't want to miss it. And I sure don't want to miss it over my attitudes. I sure don't want to miss it on my piddly little sin. Well, I'm afraid he might ask me to go to Africa, so... Yeah. Amen. Have you? Praise God, you'll get there. I told my church this. I said, listen, you guys are just pious. Because every time I give an altar call, I want to go down there myself. And I'm telling you to come down here. I said, anybody here walked on water this week? Anybody walk through the fiery furnace this week without being touched? Anybody translated? Well, then you need to get down here because we haven't reached it yet. That holy seed is lying dormant in us, not being impregnated with signs and wonders and miracles. Where have they gone? Did they take a train? Did they go on vacation? No. We grieved it away. I said, we grieved it away. Because instead of repenting, our preachers are trying to tell us, you're a blessed people, and we are. And you're all right. And once you come to Jesus, you don't need to do anything else. Baloney! Can't they have a better word? That's just the beginning. Man, that is just the beginning. Only one thing can hinder the germination of that holy seed, and it's not the devil. The devil gets more credit than he deserves. I said, the devil can't stop the germination of the holy seed in you. There's not a devil in hell that can stop the germination of that holy seed in you to bring forth signs, wonders, and miracles and walking with Jesus. Not just as your best friend, but as your Lord and your Savior. Only one thing can stop that, and that's you. Your flesh. Your will. Solution starts with repentance. You've not received the glory because you've not walked in the glory. He had glory in here tonight. It's still here. Some people will leave and not have seen the glory tonight, but it's here for those who have any type of germination in their seed at all. That glory is here. Let me tell you something. My organ repairman came in here. Not even a Christian. And he asked Brother Ben, he said, what is that? What is that cloud or something in here? Now that's from a man that has no germination of a holy seed. What's wrong with us? You know what it is? We become used to it. We're calloused. We're used to His blessing. We're used to His glory. Now we take it for granted. We take it for granted. You keep doing that and your heart will be so hard you'll never feel it again. You'll be standing there and everybody on the left and on the right will be going out and you won't know what's going on because you've allowed hardness to come in. You've not received the glory because you've not walked in the glory that you have. You've not received the power because you've not walked in the power that you have. You've lived in a carnal world. We have lived in a carnal world. Craving carnal things, spent time watching and wanting what the world has. We've not acknowledged our sin of laziness, discontent, wayward desires, anger when things don't go our way. Church, real soon. I feel this is a prophecy tonight. Real soon, I feel that the Spirit of God is going to secretly visit hearts and draw a line. You think He won't do it? Did He not do it with the children of Israel? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side?
That's right.
we stand before Him with ungerminated holy seed, we're going to have to give account. He died and rose to give us His best. And we're going to give account for that seed. When that seed is germinated in the hearts of God's people, and it starts to come forth, it's going to bring life to some and death to others. Can I tell you today? Are you ready for what I'm fixing to tell you next? There are people sitting in churches working witchcraft. They're going to pay for it, because when God finishes germinating this holy seed, that spirit of Ananias and Sapphira is coming back into the church. You're not going to mess with the Shekinah glory. You're not going to mess with this holy germinated seed. Church, this is a glorious time and an awesome time, but it's not a time to play games. When this tree begins to grow from this holy seed, the Lord said to me, I want you to look at this tree. I want you to look at an apple tree. He said it consists of three things: the root, the trunk, and the top with the fruit on it. He said the fruit speaks of the unity of the whole tree. Because if the whole tree is not in unity, there will not be good fruit. But when this tree starts coming forth from this holy seed, the fruit is going to be whole. It's going to be complete. It's going to be nurturing. It's going to be holy. We must walk into the heavenlies and eat the spiritual fruit from Him in order to sustain the trunk of this spiritual tree. That which is seen by the world day by day, this part of the flesh. See, the fruit's going to come forth, but here's what has to happen. This unity thing has to happen. And this trunk of the tree, in order for it to sustain, we're going to have to go into the spirit realm, type and shadow, and go into the orchard of God and take the apples of God in order to bring sustenance to the growth of the holy seed. And not allow the world to mess it up. And our roots is that which hangs on to the truth that we were founded on. The blood. The blood. The blood. There's no more powerful truth in the world than the blood of Jesus Christ. I said there's no more powerful truth in the world than the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when the roots aren't bringing up the blood of Jesus, the whole system gets contaminated. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, here's my blood, drink ye all of it. You know why He said drink all of it? Because you're going to need all of it. You're going to need you're going to need all of it. What God is doing in this place is holy. Today, Sister Anna got up this morning. Jesus appeared to her. But right before he appeared to her, the Holy Spirit said, get on your face. Take off your shoes. Get on your face. You're on holy ground. She got down. And Jesus appeared to her. And she started weeping. He picked up her face and he kissed her. This is what he's doing here. You be ready to let that holy seed in you be germinated. If you're ready for that holy seed to be germinated, that's inside of you, and you want God to revolutionize your life, and you're ready to let go of the sin, come on, you know what those rooms are. You know what those rooms are. You know what God's been putting his finger on in your life. You want God's miracle-working hand on your life, but you need it even more on your spirit.
The reason seeds for greatness do not germinate is because we don't give them the proper ground to bring forth fruit. Seed that is encased in cement will never bring forth life. It must have friendly soil, which means the elimination of all that tends to the hardness of heart. It's our prayer that you will enter into the holy place and be honest with God about yourself. Then you will be close to God, who is great, and you in turn will take part of that same greatness. So let the process begin. Thank you for listening to this message, and thank you for supporting Brenda Price Ministries.